Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. You also might be listening to the show on the RotoGrinders Daily Fantasy Football feed. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by Sammy Reed and Nate Noling here for the Gilcast. The Gilcast has a sponsor. Boys, we are sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. Promo code GRID will get you a free little pick in your pick 'em game. My pick 'em games did not go well this week because I made a lot of bad picks just overall. And
went against Pittsburgh, didn't you?
Went against Pittsburgh. I had the over on Chase Claypool's receiving yards. Did not get there on that. But yeah, you guys can sign up through that via the link that is in the podcast description. And of course, we got to get to it because first week of the season, I spent about 97% of my day tilting my face off. It was not a glorious return, but I ended up sucking out in the end. Sammy, tough scenes for you over there in the Bay Area, my friend.
Buddy, I'm ready to retire. You should have seen this. I bought a car yesterday, so my EV just got murked.
Then I went literally the fishiest thing you can do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, buy a depreciating asset while everything in the world is just going up and to the right, Sammy.
Yeah, I'm trying to get my wife on this podcast to, you know, hear what you guys have to say about EV. Then I got murked at poker last night. Then I woke up today and played Elijah Moore in cash and Calvin Ridley. And I'm just, man, my bank account is empty, boys. I'm going to need to start a GoFundMe.
Yeah. So format of the show this year, we are going to do the first half of the show. As always, we're going to go through our cash teams. We're going to talk about the decisions we made. And then we all played an entry in the $50 single entry tournament on DraftKings. It's called the Red Zone. If you guys want to get in that contest with us and hopefully see us up at the top, that's the one that we'll be doing on Sundays. And we're going to go through our single entry GBP thought processes in the second half of the show. So I guess the interesting place to start with, Nate, is that you and I had the same team this morning at 9 o'clock in the morning. It was Jalen Hurts, Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, Dalvin Cook, Rondale, Elijah, Callaway, correct?
And Kyle Pitts, yeah.
And Kyle Pitts and the Falcons defense. Then Trey Sermon is inactive, and everyone's like, oh shit. You got to play Raheem Mostert. Got to play him. And
Everyone good. That is correct. No. Nate was like, you know what this means? I got to get George Kittle in the lineup.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, we're going to talk about that in a second. But I guess, so this was the team I played. Josh, well, actually, because I did a late swap, so we'll talk about that in a sec. But we need to start here. Why are all of us so bad that we didn't play Jalen Hurts? Not one of us played Jalen Hurts. Like, what are we
doing? I'm a fish. I had the Hurts team, and I was like, oh, I can't play Hurts over Josh Allen. Like, I am not going into week one fading Josh Allen. And just, I mean, especially the reason I got onto Josh Allen even more was the Zach Moss thing. I'm like, they're just going to pass every play. They're going to pass every single play.
And they did.
I have to play Josh Allen. And so that's what screwed me off the same team we had all week, Davis. And then I ended up getting on Kittle. It wasn't like I got to Kittle. I got to Allen, and then Kittle ended up there.
It's just really not defensible. Like, looking at your team right now, what you did is not defensible, because the only reason to switch off of that team was to play Mostert, I think.
I I want to get into the Mostert thing a little bit, because I think Mixon was a great play all week. And I think a lot of times we talk about how late news, oh, there's an edge, there's an efficiency there, but there's also efficiency in, like, you get so used to sticking great situations.
Sticking to the best plays that were there all week, yeah, and not just overreacting to the new situation.
Yes, Mixon was in a great spot and was only a little bit more than some of these other guys that people were getting super excited about. So I didn't see any reason to get off Mixon with the sermon news. I just didn't.
The only sharp thing I said all week was, what's the real difference between Mixon and Dalvin? Is it worth 3K? And I decided that it wasn't. It was literally the only sharp thing the only sharp thought that I had in 7 days.
Yeah. So I didn't actually really think that Josh Allen was that much better of a play than Hurts. I guess that I just ended up playing him in the end because it made more sense as a roster construct. Like in a vacuum, I thought Josh Allen was a better play. I thought Hurts was perfectly fine play. And obviously in hindsight, I'm like, yeah, well, no shit. I should have just played Jalen Hurts because he's better than Josh Allen anyway.
Yeah, they were the only two quarterbacks I was considering in cash. Same. It was either Allen or Hurts. I know earlier in the week there were some people talking about Mac Jones and whatnot, but I was like, I was very clearly on Allen or Hurts. I didn't think there was really anybody else I thought in cash I wanted.
See, I wanted to play Kyler, and I went with the projections because the projections liked Allen a touch better than Kyler, but Kyler's game environment was great. The pace of the game was supposed to be great. The Titans defense is terrible, whereas Pittsburgh's is pretty good. You know, it was just one of those things where I wanted to play Allen or Kyler.
Well, the projections will not reflect that next week. I'm gonna update some of ours. I'm gonna update some Arizona stuff. Give them some more plays and give Kyler even more of the rushing as well.
Yeah, I mean, like, Kyler was just he was my most owned GPP quarterback. So I thought he just right. So why isn't he a higher owned cash play? Like, why were we not playing him in cash if we just think he's got that kind of upside, and clearly he's got a great floor as well? So, you know, it was just one of those things where I'm pissed at myself I didn't go with the gut. You know what I mean? I didn't go with the gut. I just looked at the projections like a beta, and now I'm broke. Like that's what happens.
So at running back, this is not going to happen very often, but we all did something different. We all had a running back who was only 33% owned in our three man, which means we were the only one that played them. So I played McCaffrey, Mostert, and Mike Davis. Nate played McCaffrey, Mixon, and Kamara. Sammy, you played McCaffrey, Mostert, and Mixon. So I think that Mostert was like the best GPP play heading in, like when people were still thinking that Sermon was going to be there. And then when Sermon was out, I was like, yeah, sure, Hasty and Mitchell might get some of the work, but like they're going to score 40 points. Now, I did not also think that the Lions were going to score 30 points. That would have been a useful thing to realize for GPPs. I probably would have played a little bit of Swift or a little bit of Hawkinson, but it was just like the nut spot, like turf. They will work in other running backs, but they'll have no obligation to give those guys carries the way they would with Sermon. Nate, why were you not on Mostert?
I mean, because I was pretty much locked into playing three of four running backs, and it was going to be obviously CMC, obviously Kamara, either Cook or Mixon. Those were the only four running backs I was looking at pretty much all week in cash. I had a ton of Trey Sermon in GPP up until the news. I had a lot of other running backs that I thought were great GPP options, but in cash, I thought this week with the way that the wide receivers built, I wanted to get three of the best running back plays. And I thought the Mostert thing, I was so shocked by San Francisco's like benching of Sermon or whatever was happening. I just felt like, why wade into in week one, like an uncertain, weird situation
that like removed the uncertainty though. Like if Sermon is going to be inactive, that removed the concept that they might just come out and give him 18 carries.
But it also means we know so much less about this situation than what we thought we knew. Like there could have been some rant. Like I had no idea what was happening in San Francisco this morning. And I was not about to put that above situations that I felt extremely confident in. And I thought I had plenty of Mostert in GPP, but like, I just, in cash, it didn't make sense to get off these running backs that were just like the locks of the slate.
But there was no question. I mean, look at how they divvied up their carries. Mitchell got 19 carries.
19. Yeah.
Right? Like he was the bell cow. And let me just tell you, you get all excited for football season. You're all pumped up. You do your drafts, you make your lineups. Everything's going great. And then 10 minutes into the slate, Raheem Mostert, who gets two carries and 20 yards right off the bat, and it's just like going to be a smash show, hurts himself. Then Mitchell runs in a 38-yard touchdown. Hasty gets a 3-yard touchdown. And you're like, these are all my points. I'm complete dust. Like, so, so, so tilting. And you can't tell me, Nate, that these would not have been Mostert's fantasy goodnesses, because they would.
I can't say, but you also can't say that they all would be. You have to admit that there was volatility that got introduced into a situation like last minute that, I mean, none of us had any idea that this was going to be the thing in San Francisco. So I just don't understand why 2 hours before lock we're rushing at that when I get it for tournaments. Like, yeah, you want to pounce on situations where there's variance and things like that, and there's volatility, but like in cash, when you have running back spots, which is just so clear cut, I don't know. I kind of thought
he was borderline cash playable anyway, Mostert. Like I kind of thought you could have gotten away with playing him before that, and so that was kind of just like the next step that I would.
I had Sermon as the better play going into the slate this morning.
Well,
and I think most people did.
What are you talking about?
I thought you were misspeaking, Nate.
I'm dead serious.
Sermon is a fourth round rookie who's not explosive and wasn't that good in college. Like that would have been that if that was the way you had it projected, then that's just full Nemo.
I was shocked by this Trey Sermon news, and I don't think Raheem Mostert. I don't think this is his backfield.
Yeah, we got robbed of him coming up to like having like a sick GPP team, but Trey Sermon sitting there with 2.4 like in the util.
That would have been me. I had Trey Sermon in a lot of places this morning.
I never play 100% of running backs, but every team I made today had Mostert in it. It was a supreme confidence spot for me. I felt very good about it. Yeah. Right.
So when you watched like the Mixon thing or like Cook or like Camp Kamara,
I felt very bad.
Fishy, because you should.
I don't feel fishy, but it's clear that the things that the Bengals were saying this offseason about using Mixon more as a pass catcher and not taking him off at all were true.
I mean, yeah, you have like CMC, Kamara, Cook. You have these running backs that are just in a tier of their own, and you decided to play like a guy that 3 hours before lock you wouldn't even consider. And I don't understand that.
No, I'm saying that's not true. I had Mostert on all my GPP teams made from the night before.
I think that's bad.
Well, you're wrong about that. The thing. So this is also where I ended up. And I guess Sammy must have agreed with me is, I was making all my GPP teams without Kamara, but I did it for the opposite reason. I was like, that game's going to suck. The Saints don't have any weapons. They're going to get blown out of the building. It's not even going to be competitive. That turned out to be true in the reverse, that they scored all these touchdowns on offense. Nate, you should be rich. You should have had like Deontay Harris and Juwan Johnson stacks with 5 touchdowns from Jameis.
What we should have done is stay true to the brand and not have been weak sucks and just played Jameis in cash. Like, how did we not do that?
I know. Sammy, both of us need to take our L's from the brand. You didn't play Deontay. God. I didn't play Jameis. I mean, even though I made money, it feels like I lost this week.
I mean, I feel like I lost and I did lose. Like, why didn't I just play Deontay? Like, it would have been a great bit for the show, and he caught a touchdown. Like, this would have been awesome. Instead, the people were robbed. People, I'm sorry. I will not fail you again. I won't do it again.
Yeah. So you guys both played Mixon. I think that was fine.
It was great. And the reason is, you know, when you really break down what you want in a running back, like sometimes we lose sight of it. You want carries, right? You want a big snap share, you want goal line work, and you want the guy to stay on in third down, right? Mixon checked all those boxes. And so you had somebody like Dalvin, who is fantastic, but is his role appreciably different than what we could have reasonably assumed that Joe Mixon's was. I don't think so. Right. And that came to pass, but even just process wise, you know, like Mixon checked all those boxes and he was almost $3,000 cheaper. And I was pretty close to playing, and you guys would have roasted me, but I was pretty close to playing Najee in cash.
Yeah.
And
that would have been, that would have actually been optimal for the show. Cause he was like the worst play on the board.
He wasn't the worst play though.
He wasn't the worst play.
He played 100% of snaps. He played 100%.
Now, yeah, but Clyde just played like 85% of the snaps for the Chiefs, and he was a terrible play.
I mean, that's true.
I don't think Clyde's snap share was that high. We haven't seen snap data yet, but I don't think it was that high.
It was that high. He played all 55 of Pittsburgh's snaps. He did not.
No, I'm saying CEH.
He's saying Clyde.
I don't think CEH usage did not look different than last year.
Najee did. He was a fine tournament, like not even fine, like a good tournament play, especially considering what he ended up being owned at, but he would have been a truly bad cash play.
I don't think so.
I'm not there, but I think Najee's up there with like Mixon and the rest of those guys who like,
he will end up that way in terms of usage. The problem he's going to have a similar problem to, you remember like when James Robinson would have his terrible games last year where it would be like 16 carries, 47 yards, 4 receptions, 37 yards, no touchdowns. It's going to be like that because the offensive line is terrible. And in a weird way, Ben should check down a lot, but he doesn't. He just throws up these like prayer balls instead. Like Ben, like he should be checking down a Najee like 6 times a game. But I mean, Sammy, you can tell me if that's true or not, but like it just seems like he's not going to.
I mean, he certainly should. I'll just tell you this. My early prediction is that Najee is going to be chalk next week because the Sharps.
They play?
They're at home against Las Vegas.
Yes.
Yeah.
A smash spot. Yeah. Great.
So Davis, why are you saying that Najee was such a bad play this week? I think Najee, like there was that mid-tier running backs, which like I would say Mixon, Gibson, Najee, Mostert. I would say Mostert was the worst of those four running backs. He was the one with the least amount of.
You're stone cold wrong.
Mostert news came out 3 weeks ago, Mostert would not have been the most owned of those four running backs.
Nate might be right because the Niners projected to not throw to their running backs at all, right? They don't do it a ton.
I had Mostert with like an 8% target share, but I had him. The thing is that it feeds in, like, you know, we have the Niners being one of the run heaviest teams in the NFL. Obviously 8.5 point favorites. That's going to funnel a lot of like historically 8.5 point favorites are just going to give a shit ton of fantasy points to their running backs.
Right. Garoppolo, I think threw it 25 times, right? Like 8% of that is, you know, like two targets. Yeah. Like
I stand by my take that if 3 weeks ago, the news would have came out that Trey Sermon wouldn't have started week one, he would have been the lowest owned of the four of Najee, Mixon, Gibson, and Mostert.
That's wrong.
Gibson got better usage too. I mean, Gibson
I thought was a potential. I mean, I played him on one of my single entry teams. I thought he was a good play, but I thought that Mostert just kind of has that gravitational pull of like they were up by 20 the whole game and he's just going to score. Like that, I don't know. It's kind of more of an art, Nate.
That's right. The other thing about Gibson is
it's more of an art because you guys are just taking a win.
Gibson comes off the field on third downs. And that's an issue.
He still was targeted 5 times. Nate, I will tell you that actually our top optimal when I ran it with no wide receiver in flex, no tight end in flex, I think if I remember correctly, our optimal was Kelce at tight end and Callaway in flex. So I locked Pitts and I said only running back at flex. And our optimal was the team that I played initially, but with Gibson over Mostert.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, the injury screws it because you guys get screwed and we also don't get to see like the actual end result of what it would have been. And it allows wins to be taken on both sides almost. But I don't think Mostert's usage was as defined as the rest of those guys in that tier.
Fair enough. I need to talk about receivers.
You need to talk about Kamara.
No. So Kamara, obviously great play. I ran hot that he didn't get like 30 or whatever, because he should have. He had, I think, 17 touches in the first half with the receiving touchdown. I ran incredibly hot. Kamara was, I think, I had him projected for 23 and a half DK points. I don't know how much he ended up actually getting in the end.
Like 18.
But Kamara is going to, this is going to be the most touches he ever gets in his career. And it's going to be a weekly decision for us between Kamara and CMC. I think Kamara's usage is going to be that elite this year. The decision that I ended up making was Mike Davis and Davante Adams versus T. Higgins and Alvin Kamara. And I thought Adams versus Kamara, Kamara is better by a little bit, but that's kind of a coin flip. But Mike Davis projects just maybe not much better, but just much more solidly than T. Higgins. And I ended up being wrong on every part of that. T was better than Mike Davis. Kamara was much better than Mike Adams, or than Davante Adams. Like I got every part of that wrong.
What was your emotional state when you saw Cordarrelle Patterson starting to, was I'm it always, happy year?
No, because I'm always happy to see CPAT flourish as a running back. Like, so at the end of the day, like I couldn't be that mad. Like it was awesome to see him out there getting after it. And also in the back of my head, I was thinking like, I've drafted Patterson a bunch in best ball. So like, this is probably fine. Like it's fine that he's doing this thing. And I mean, it's not like Mike Davis didn't get the opportunities. He got 15 carries and he got 6 targets, which was roughly in line with how I had him projected. Like basically played out how I expected. I just did not expect the Falcons to literally not score a touchdown and be they were basically the worst team that played today.
Yeah. Were we fish to like not realize how bad Atlanta was?
I think a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. That really jumped me. That killed
Mike
me.
Davis really felt like a Nate play. Like I am surprised that Nate was not on the Mike Davis thing at all with me.
Honestly, if Mixon wasn't 6'2", I mean, Mixon won't be 6'2" more than like he'll be 7K plus the rest of the year. So I don't have to worry about him much anymore. But Mixon or Davis is a Nate play. He was a good play. I honestly, like, you play this slate 100 times, there's no way Atlanta scores like this.
Yeah, if Mike Davis, they were on the, I think they were on the 3-yard line once and on the 5-yard line once. And if Mike Davis punches either one of those in, no one's complaining about him as a play. Like he got more than enough work. It was mostly fine.
I mean, he got what, 6 targets and like 15 rushing attempts. You're going to take good, that, good. That salary.
He's 5.4. Like that's totally worth it.
Yeah. I don't think Mike Davis was a bad play. I think it's, yeah, he's as good as Mostert. I mean,
he was a better play than Mostert. I agree.
That's what I'm saying. Why did Mostert become the chalk of the chalk?
Because he was going to score 2 touchdowns with 100 yards. Like
he was going to score 2 touchdowns, fact. Nate. Like that is what you're missing, is that he was just going to score 2 touchdowns.
There are so many people in San Francisco.
All right,
whatever.
Let's do wide receiver. So Nate played the chalky combination of Callaway, Marvin Jones, Elijah Moore. Sammy, you played Callaway and Moore as well, but you played Calvin Ridley instead of Davante Adams.
Good. Instead of anybody good is what I did.
Oh, because on my team, there was salary for Davante because I played Mike Davis and you, so you went Mixon Ridley over Adams and Mike Davis.
Yeah. You faded Kamara and Cook.
Yeah, I did.
And Davante.
I did. Yeah.
I did the same thing too.
Buddy, if you look at my lineup from like me, you haven't seen as many snowflakes since like a Joe Biden convention. Like it is just so egregious up and down the board. Like Elijah Moore, Calvin Ridley had like 3 for 44 on the first drive. And I am like, oh baby.
I think by the way, Moore had, he had like a 40-yard play called back. And then on the next play, he had like a 45. And it was a classic Denzel Mims performance. Like air yards is going to come out on Monday and Elijah Moore is going to have like 7 targets and like 111 air yards or whatever.
Okay, so let's talk about this for a second. Why was it, because obviously the results are the results, but why was Elijah Moore better than Rondale Moore? Because that hurts.
Everyone was way more stoked about Elijah Moore in the preseason is the big thing, is he was so good in camp. It really was a coin flip, I think, for those guys. But and also there's just something about like people have that like institutional memory of Jamison Crowder like always crushing in this same role, and people are just like, oh, he's just going to be Jamison Crowder for 3K.
It's kind of what I thought, man.
Yeah,
I mean, Elijah Moore did end up with nearly 100 air yards on the week, and Moore.
He had 100 air yards.
Only four targets for Elijah, though.
Yeah,
but he had minus three receiving yards.
It was in the fourth quarter when they were trying to catch back up, and he had two in a row where they hucked it to him.
That's so brutal. I mean, when you're getting smashed on by like Braxton Berrios and Denzel Mims, I mean, it's a very tough scene. Like that's,
I mean, the biggest run bad of the slate feels that Rondale didn't break the slate because Kirk scored two touchdowns and Rondale had a touchdown where defensive holding got in the way of him scoring. So it was like Rondale could have been a slate breaker very easily.
Yeah. The thing about Rondale that's going to be tough is like Kyler is so good and can spread it out to literally five different receivers. Like Hopkins is always going to get his, AJ Green's going to be a thorn in the side. Kirk's going to be there. So like Rondale is in a relatively crowded situation where with the Jets, you know, like it's going to Corey Davis or Elijah Moore. Like that's where the volume is going to go. So it's a question of whether or not you want like that efficiency with potentially not a lot of volume, or if you just want that volume and you're willing to take the risk on efficiency and trust in the talent.
The thing that I think that analysis misses is the thing where Rondale got all of his points. They were on specific design touches for him, where Elijah wasn't going to get any of that. He was just going to get the 7-yard crossers or whatever. In theory, it ended up playing out that Zach Wilson just kind of had a brutal game. I mean, he started out pretty brutal. He got a little bit better.
Who could have thought that like trusting Zach Wilson in his first NFL game and then playing Elijah Moore in his first NFL game could have gone poorly?
Which one of them was more owned in the massive $25 double up? I'm going to go pull it up because I'm curious about that.
I'll bet it was Elijah. But I mean, the thing was like I played in that 3K role. I played Rondell everywhere in GPP and then I played Elijah in cash. And like theoretically, this sounds okay, but like at some point, if you think Rondell's like, if you're playing him in all your GPPs because you think he's in such a good spot, like why not just play him in cash?
Yeah, maybe I'm just defending this because this is the thing that I made, but like Rondale legit has to be like snapped in there. Like there has to be plays designed for him in formations that are called for him.
Basically, where it's like that was going to
Elijah Moore is going to be on the field like almost every single snap. And like in cash, I do think that type of stuff matters. Like obviously Arizona, when they can, if they're going to be up by this much, yeah, they can design plays for Rondale Moore. But if they're down 20 points, they're not going to be designing these gadget plays where Rondale Moore is getting these weird screens. Like,
so
you need to get the receiver who's getting legitimate like work.
Elijah was 31% and Rondale was 8.2% in the massive $25 double up.
Yeah.
I think that should be much closer. I'm more bullish on Elijah as a player. Like I actually think Elijah is probably a little bit better than Rondale is, but Rondale is in this perfect situation to just like, I feel like he's going to get 4 for 40 every single week on these gadget plays. Like I feel like he's just locked into that.
Yeah. He's just Larry Fitzgerald with juice.
That literally is the role he's playing Larry Fitzgerald with juice.
Yeah.
And for a 3K wide receiver, you'd rather have that than someone who's getting potentially 150 air yards on the week?
Well, his quarterback is so much better, so that's going to play into how much they're realizing their efficiency. Like yeah, the that fact was, that one of them...
I'm genuinely asking that question. I'm not asking like...
I had Elijah, and I'm realizing in retrospect that that was bad. That was not the right way to play it.
I'm a sucker for like the real volume type of stuff versus like the running back.
Yeah, you hate the gadget floor. You've always been a hater of the gadget floor.
He can't incorporate it into the model. You know what I mean? Like Nate's typing up his code and this and that, and he just has no way to account for gadgetness. Nate, you got to fix it, man. You got to update it. 2021.
Do you guys want to talk about how disgusting it is that Marvin Jones Jr. just absolutely sucked out? He got 10 DK points on the final drive.
I mean, if I played him, I'd be talking about how awesome it was.
It didn't even, as a recipient of those points, it didn't even feel just. It felt disgusting.
Yeah, it was like gross.
The Jaguars, Sammy, I was telling you how much I thought they were just going to blow the Texans out, and like they just looked awful. And Lawrence threw three interceptions, and it was just it was such a mess. I mean, Jones got very lucky to get the stats he got. I will not play him again this year, I don't think. Shenault is the only Jaguars wide receiver I will play, because Shenault has the. He's just going to get seven touches.
He's got the gadget floor, bro.
He's got the gadget floor. I mean, he's going to have a shorter depth of target, but he is just going to get, he's going to get consistent work every single game. And feels like the Jaguars.
Shark led the team in Whopper though.
Yeah. Yeah. And he will have more throws down the field. He might double up LaVisca in average depth of target.
And he also had 12 targets.
Yeah. I'm just not playing Marvin Jones Jr. again.
Did people play James Robinson? Did you guys consider Robinson? At all?
I played him on FanDuel because he was 5,900. But I guarantee fucking to you that's one guy I will not be playing again because he is Carlos Hyde's backup.
I'm so glad we got to. Well, I played him on FanDuel here. Only it was somebody who did bad. This is a big shift.
Yeah, I mean, I assume that I didn't win on FanDuel because I had Mostert and James Robinson, but people are so bad on FanDuel, honestly, you never know.
Yeah, you did not win.
Yeah, I mean, the James Robinson play, it was nice to talk about for 1 week, but I mean, just literally, like, he's unusable.
Yeah, hell of a run.
All right.
Yeah,
so. Not great. Okay, where are we at here? Okay, so I had Marquez Callaway, Marvin Jones Jr., and Devontae Adams. My team was deader than dead. You know, I'm sitting there looking at my lineup. Kyle Pitts, 7. Mostert, 2. Mike Davis, 10. Falcons defense, 0. Josh Allen, 18. And I'm like, dude, I am dead. Like, there's literally not a way that I can win. So I swapped off of Devontae Adams, who was 8,300, for Tyreek Hill, who was for 8,200. And I swapped off Callaway for Donovan Peoples-Jones. And I really looked at this a lot because here were the other options. Jalen Waddle, he got 20. Deontay Harris, I think he got like 16 because he caught a super lucky 60-yard touchdown in the fourth quarter. Played DPJ because Odell Beckham was out, and I anticipated that DPJ would be his straight-up replacement. Basically, what happened is Anthony Schwartz, this guy from Georgia, ended up playing his role and looked really good doing it. And DPJ got one catch at the end that vaulted me from breaking even to winning 50% his final catch did, because Tyreek Hill, 197 receiving yards, 11 receptions, a receiving touchdown, and the 100-yard bonus. Guys, it's better to be lucky than good. That's all I can say.
I mean, amazing. Just week one, we're back in the NFL season. Davis is late swapping and just running like Jesus Christ himself on water. Let me just say this. I think that, you know, like Waddle was very to the brand, right? Because he's young.
Yeah, Waddle's the one I like, but I like DPJ too.
I think Harris, because he offered
Harris was the correct swap.
Direct leverage off of Callaway.
Mistake.
Was the play
it was a mistake to not do hair, with the benefit of hindsight, the direct leverage off of Callaway targets was like the most GTO way to play it.
Yeah. Cause like Tyreek really wasn't that owned in cash, but I mean, you know, I hate to like say, hey, this was sharp Davis. You did a good job. It pains me to like even mutter.
Then
this.
Just don't. He already like lucked out. He doesn't.
Tyreek was not only not owned. He was 6% owned in cash games.
I mean,
nobody paid up at receiver, right?
Everyone who did played Devontae Adams or Calvin Ridley.
Right. And the thing is, Tyreek Hill just obviously has as much upside as literally any fantasy player. So when he's sitting there available for you in the afternoon to do, I wish I hadn't blown my wad on stupid ass Calvin Ridley, because I would have swapped as well to Tyreek. And
I can't even find a Devontae Adams team to see how owned he was.
I mean, people were paying down, bro. Like that was
I mean, is the has there ever been a worse play than Marquez Callaway at what he was owned? I mean, 50% of teams playing Marquez Callaway.
I mean, it was bad. I feel bad for doing it. Like, I feel so bad for playing.
Did you guys play him in your any tournament lineups?
No, of course I didn't until
the Odell news came out, and I had to swap half my teams, and I was like, it was either and I like swap. I think I split him and MVS. Also got a ton of air yards,
dude. I had so much MVS. I had so much MVS today. Oh my god! Just
do we want to talk about the decision to play Kyle Pitts, Sammy? Because that felt pretty straightforward.
It felt very straightforward. Here's the thing: like everybody who played their first NFL game today, like Devontae and Jamar Chase and Waddle, like everyone's scoring, but we played Kyle Pitts and Elijah Moore in their first games, and they did
nothing.
Jack squat. So, you know, it was kind of a tough scene, but I think for 4,400, you know, I mean, he's still seven targets. Like,
I think Nate fucked up pretty bad playing Kittle when he could have played.
Nate, that is the ultra dog.
Because you could have played George Kyle Pitts Kittle. And T. Higgins. I think this Kittle play is really bad.
It's so bad. Of course it's bad. You had
I've already talked about
8.5-point favorite that all they want to do is run the ball. Like Kyle Pitts, you have a generational talent there at 4.4 and you pay 6,300 for George Kittle in cash.
I've already talked about the process.
Blocker.
Tight end was the last position I worked on. It was like the Falcons D, obviously the I wanted Mixon.
Yeah, but you should have just played T. Higgins over Marvin Jones or Marquez Callaway.
You couldn't have gotten all the way up to T from Marquez.
Yeah, when you moved to Pitts.
He gave you $2,000.
Yeah.
Like, it was $1,900 to go down to Pitts from Kittle.
Yeah.
You couldn't have found something good to do at $1,900?
No, I mean, straight up, it's just a straight up swap where he could go T. Higgins over Callaway, Kyle Pitts at tight end, and Bills defense instead of Falcons.
Yeah.
That's way better.
I would have never played this team. Nate played.
Nate, go look at your team. How owned was George Kittle? I'm gonna go over.
Oh, under. please. In the massive $25 double.
I'm going 3.8%. What do you got, Davis?
Let's see what Kittle was.
6.4.
Kittle was 5.8. Yeah, Kittle was 5.8 in the 25.
One out of every 20 people is just a complete fish.
Don't we talk about this spot all the time when it comes to tight ends? Like, don't we talk about this all the time? That if you know a tight end's going to be 60% owned, you just do not fight the crowd. Like, don't we literally just – isn't that, like, one of the big things we all believe in?
Yeah.
I don't think I believe in it. I know we talk about it a lot. I'm not there.
I absolutely – if Tyler Conklin was going to be 60% owned this week, I would have just played Tyler Conklin. Honestly, because the tight end position is Kelsey – then a small tier break to Waller, then a tier break to Kelsey, and then everyone else, or to Kittle rather.
Kittle.
And I think that any game where the 49ers are favored by this much, like, he's going to see like five targets.
I can't believe you didn't just play Hockenson. Like, if you were going to.
Every piece of data you'll ever look at shows that like favorites, tight ends, that's a good thing.
I'm not even saying that it's like, I don't think this play is bad. Like, I'm not mocking you for playing George Kittle. Like, obviously Kittle is fine in the context, in like the vacuum of this week though, or not the opposite of the vacuum, in the context of this week, I think this play was LOL bad. Cause you could have been buried so easy. I mean, you could have
I had Pitts. Like most of the week. And then I switched off of him this morning when I got off of Hurts up to, and then down from Cook. Cause originally I had Cook Kamara and then, CMC, but yeah, I don't know the Kittle thing. I don't think it's that bad, but yeah, I obviously wish San Francisco would have needed to score, like would have needed Kittle. It was like, they were able to score so easily and this game was not, it was such a weird game flow that he was.
It was a very bizarre game. Like, it ended up going way over its total, and the result never felt in doubt.
Yeah, because the scores were all
bonus.
The scores were all like weird and bizarre, where I think if it was like a normal game flow where Kittle was like in the game flow, he would have seen his normal, like, you know, one of the best tight end target shares of the week. But I mean, he just didn't. It was a weird game flow.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he still beat out Pitts. It's not like it's, I like Pitts was fine too, but also like Atlanta, I mean, we've talked about them. They're worse than we all think they are.
Buddy, I mean, the real downfall for me this week is that I played three Falcons. I played Calvin Ridley, I played Pitts, and
Falcons defense
is so tilting.
It's tilting, but it's like whatever. It's like the thesis behind the play was, well, it was fine. It was like if Jalen Hurts eats two sacks and throws one interception and they get 4 points, you're like, all right, whatever, fine.
Yeah, but we get like nine slots, and when a third of them are taken up by Falcons, it's just really, really piss poor job, Sammy. I got to tell you, Sammy, this ain't it.
I do think, by the way, I don't know, who do the Falcons play next week? I think there'll be a buying opportunity on Pitts because the Falcons play – oh, the Falcons play at the Giants, a team that's worse than them. Perfect. Kyle Pitts playing them next week probably. Not in cash, but definitely in tournaments. Maybe I will play him in cash again. I don't know. I haven't looked.
Well, you got seven targets, right? Like, it's fine. Yeah. It's good.
Yeah. It's Kyle Pitts was a perfectly fine play. He was a pretty bad tournament play, but he was fine for cash. Yeah. I mean, he saw the same amount of targets as Calvin Ridley. They both got eight. So.
Cool. All right,
there we go. All right, let's do our tournament team. So these are the teams that we played in the $50 single entry on DraftKings. My team, I did not make any late swaps on this team because I didn't have any room to do it. Otherwise, I would have. I played Kyler Murray, Alvin Kamara, Raheem Mostert, DeAndre Hopkins, AJ Brown, Rondale Moore, Tyler Conklin, Laviska Shenault, and the Houston Texans defense. I min cashed with 134 points. This was the angle I wanted to run all week, was Kyler double stack with a bring back. I thought this was the best game. Both the defenses are not that good. I did not anticipate the Cardinals defense playing that good. Also did not anticipate Chester Rogers being the leading wide receiver for the Tennessee Titans. That was one of the bizarre things. You know what? This is actually an example of wide receiver cornerback matchup talk going wrong, because everyone was talking about how shitty the Titans cornerbacks were all week, or how bad the Cardinals cornerbacks were all week. And Julio and AJ Brown basically did nothing. AJ Brown kind of luck boxed a touchdown, but he had 4 for 49.
Yeah, I stacked this game a couple different ways. All of them were double stacks, and then one was a big dog bring back. And one was a Julio bring back, and just didn't work very well at all.
Could be done for Derrick Henry.
Yeah, we all fell on the same thing. Because I mean, I did the same thing except instead of Arizona.
What was your team?
I had Tannehill, Brown. It was the Spy. Which one, the Spy or the Red Zone?
The Red Zone.
The 50. So I had Tannehill, Chase Edmonds. So it was a Tannehill, Brown, Julio double stack with the Chase Edmonds bring back. I knew it was going to be a chalky game. I thought
that was the less chalky way to do it though, for sure. Yeah.
So I went with Chase Edmonds because I knew Chase Edmonds was going to be like the lesser owned, and I was actually really high on Chase Edmonds. Yeah. And then I also went with Kittle at tight end as my other like leverage spot, which then let me feel more confident and go into a more chalky route. So then I finished it out with Mike Davis, Calvin Ridley at wide receiver, Falcons D, and then Callaway.
Kittle's a real sharp tournament play this week.
I thought, by the way, Falcons D in tournaments was bad because no one thought the Falcons D was like going to get 15 or whatever. And you knew they were going to be the most owned defense. I did not play them in any of my GPP teams at all.
I think in a single entry tournament like this, where you have those leverage spots that you know you're already like unique from the field, it doesn't make you, you don't have to get like crazy at defense to like separate yourself even more. At least I felt so that's where I landed. I feel all right about it. I mean, Chase Edmonds, I think, was like my favorite tournament play of the week. I think I probably had him on the most teams, and he was close a couple times to like having a huge. huge thing. And I think he's actually going to be a fun player this year, because I think him in that Arizona offense, I think he's going to be much more of a back I want to roster versus Connor. Connor's going to get all that gross work, but Edmonds is going to get kind of the exciting, the fantasy valuable stuff. So.
Yeah. My pushback on that would be, if I set the line at 2.5 rushing touchdowns for Chase Edmonds this year, do you take the over or the under?
I take the over. He's so explosive.
I really hope you're right. I'm saying this hoping that you're right, because I have like no James Conner in all these best balls and a lot of Chase Edmonds. But the usage in this week leads me to believe that the Chase Edmonds naysayers about his goal line usage are right. And I
know they're correct about his goal line usage. I'm saying his scores are going to come from 15, 20 yards out, because the offense is so explosive when he gets the ball. I mean, he's not going to get those 3-yard touchdown runs. That's going to be Connor. But I also don't think that's going to be the primary way Arizona scores.
Okay.
Like, they're not Minnesota. You don't need Dalvin Cook stumbling into the end zone for 2 yards. Like, this is going to be one of the most explosive offenses we see all year. It's not going to be a bunch of 3-yard runs at the goal line. They're going to spread it out wide, and you're going to have Chase Edmonds getting a 20-yard. That's going to be the way I think he gets his fantasy value.
Yeah. All right, Sammy, what was your team?
So I was actually wrong. So I played a ton of the Kyler double stacks in a lot of single entries, but in this one, this lower dollar one, I actually went with Bill's stack, Allen and Diggs, bringing it back with Claypool. And then
I liked this angle, and I ran a similar team.
Yeah, and then my running backs, I played Mixon and I played Aaron Jones. I didn't think anybody would own Aaron Jones, and they were right not to own Aaron Jones, because Aaron Jones sucks. I also played Jerry Jeudy, who is on his way to a pretty nice game.
Man. Yeah, oh, tough, so sad.
Tough scene for Jerry Jeudy and his truthers.
I will give Jerry Jeudy like my stem cells. He can have my, like, whatever he needs from my body in order to help his ankle recover faster. He can have it.
Why you like Jerry Jeudy so much and not Deontay Johnson? They're like the same dude.
Oh, Jeudy is so much better. Jeudy, like, literally, oh, this is the worst, most Homer incorrect take ever.
What are you talking about? I played Gerald.
I mean, they were both some of the most inefficient players last year. So yeah, they're pretty similar.
Yeah, they're super talented players who had a bunch of drops last year, and they're supreme alphas who, given the opportunity, will go ahead and smash again this year. That's just the way it is. I played Everett at tight end. He luck boxed into a touchdown. I played DJ Moore in the flex.
So we all played wide receiver in the flex.
Yeah.
So that's
the only way you should be building tournament teams.
Yes. So that is that was one point I wanted to make sure to hit on, is because like the first GPP team I ran out, I was like trying to crowbar Mike Davis in the flex. And I'm like, just stop doing this. Like, it's so much easier for like receipt. Like when Mike Davis gets 18, it takes like 23 plays that the Falcons run to get him 18. But like, I don't even like Russell Gage, but Russell Gage can get 18 on 5 plays or whatever. Like, it's just the wide receivers are just so much better flex plays.
I think Russell Gage is a bad example of what you're talking about.
Russell Gage had the trillion line, zero receptions, two targets, zero receptions, 0 yards for Russell Gage today.
Tough, quoting the worst possible person to make your point.
Okay, well, so overarching things we like learned or tilted about this week. What are they?
I think the biggest takeaway, the Green Bay loss was stunning. I don't know if I would say that's stunning.
I was stunned.
Buddy, Aaron Rodgers was pulled in the third quarter.
Like, yeah. I mean, he literally just de-gapped. It wasn't like it was it was so sloppy. It literally was just like, oh, this is how this game is going to go. It wasn't like that's stunning, but it wasn't like I don't think Aaron Rodgers is dead. What we saw was just such an anomaly of like, he literally just de-gaffed up there. He was sitting on the bench.
You think he doesn't care anymore? Do you think he's
The
look on his face on the bench in the third quarter literally looked like I couldn't care less. And I'm like, so to me, that wasn't, I don't know, even Devontae didn't look like he was in. I mean, at
all. Do you see Aaron Rodgers' hair? Like, he looks like Joaquin Phoenix trying to play Aaron Rodgers. Like, he's just, like, grizzled and doesn't give a shit. And he's been hiking in Hawaii all off season, and he's pissed off at the Packers. Like, he might be torpedoing him.
Yeah. Okay, so the takeaway for me was the Detroit running backs are just, even though they're both going to be used, like, I shouldn't be off of Swift as much as I was all offseason because of the Jamal Williams stuff. Like, Swift was a usage monster. Swift had the best receiving usage of any running back this week. And I think Jamal Williams was, like, pretty much right up there with the second. I mean, they both saw, I think, a combined 20 targets. Their wide receiver core is so bad, they are going to leverage those running backs, in every aspect.
And Hockenson, it's going to go through it. Everything they said about Hockenson this offseason that the beat writer said, it's all true. He's going to see 150 targets. They're going to load him up with the ball.
I mean, they're literally just going to play it through their tight ends and their running backs. I mean, their wide receivers are just, I mean, it's the worst wide receiver core I've ever seen.
It's like worse than that. It's so bad. It's like Khalif Raymond, I think, was their leading wide receiver, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, seems bad. Did you see that Quintez Cephas goal line fade? Boom. Yeah,
good for him.
Cephas. So I have, like, no Lions in seasonal at all. Like,
same.
I didn't buy into any of it. Swift, Hockenson, any of that smoke. I was just like, I don't want it. Like, forget that. So it's one game, but
maybe. I have a little bit of a little bit of Hockenson, but that's it. So I don't know. I guess one of the other things that I was thinking is, like, are we going to have to take Mark Ingram seriously?
Stop this.
No,
Davis.
Davis. Okay, I'll say
three different touchdowns.
Sammy, I'm not even engaging with this take.
He got
this. This is such a bad take. Okay, we're moving on. Let's talk about how Ja'Marr Chase preseason drops just don't matter. He is who we thought
That was obvious.
Whoa, Ja'Marr Chase's drops don't matter, but Deontay Johnson's do?
Look, we don't make the rules. We don't make the rules.
Sammy, this is the way it works. Ja'Marr Chase, that whole offense. I mean, T. Higgins is going to get his too. So, Ja'Marr Chase looked awesome. Also, I'm not worried about Ridley. I think Ridley's still going to, like, what we saw, I think people are going to overreact, and Ridley's going to be, like, a value the next couple of weeks, at least from an ownership standpoint. Ridley is still going to be the alpha who's going to be, he's going to end the season on top of all the air yards, Whopper, any opportunity metrics you find. Ridley is going to be up there even in a crappy off.
The Chiefs are the same team that they were last year. CH and Hardman will each score, like, their touchdowns. You're never going to know when it comes. Tyreek and Travis Kelce are going to do, like, 70% of the fantasy point scoring for this team. So when you're doing your Mahomes double stacks, you just got to hope that it's the week that DeMarcus Robinson catches a 50-yard touchdown or whatever, because, like, I literally think, like, 60 or 70% of his touchdowns could go to those two guys, could go to Tyreek and Kelce.
Well, I think the guy who took down the $150 power sweep, the 3-max, I think he double stacked Mahomes and Kelce and Tyreek. And obviously he had Melvin Gordon. So kudos to you and your 100K. But, you know, it's just like people are gonna, like, well, why weren't all our tournament lineups like the Chiefs triple stack? You know,
I played. So there are normally
Always hits.
There are normally three red zones, and I played in two of them. And one of the one was my Kyler team. The other one I did. Mahomes and Kelce did not do Tyreek. Feels bad, man. Feels bad.
Okay, another takeaway. The Colts, their two leading target guys were both running backs. John Taylor had 7 targets. Naheem Hines had 8. Thought that was interesting.
Well, Wentz is just so bad. I mean, Wentz is just as bad as the last time we saw him. I think that just makes Taylor playable in any game script now, because we know the rushing work is going to be there for him. And so it just, like, when Jonathan Taylor is on one of these slates, let's see how many carries. Yeah, he got 17 carries out of 30 today, including 4 for Wentz. Like, I think Jonathan Taylor most weeks will be 18 carries, 5 targets, pretty good equity at touchdowns. And because the Colts are going to be bad, I don't think he will be that owned.
So speaking of Jonathan Taylor like this, the other guy I wanted to talk about was Gibson. I didn't watch this game. I know Fitzpatrick got hurt. But McKissick only got one target compared to Gibson's five.
Five. Yep.
Was Gibson actually out there for third downs?
So I cannot say for sure. Not going to surprise anyone. The red zone package was not operable. It was not working all day. I had Sunday Ticket forever, and then I got a new internet provider and they didn't give it to me for free. So I did the a la carte red zone and it literally did not work all day. So I'm going to have to get Sunday Ticket. I'm just gonna have to pay for it. It's fine.
Because if McKissick isn't the one who's taking third downs the way we
Gibson's
thought he was,
an $8,000 player.
Gibson and Taylor are like both alphas right up there with the rest of those guys.
Eckler did not get a target today.
Not one target.
No, he lucked out with that touchdown.
Well, I mean, but he got another goal line, at least one other goal line rush too, which was really interesting. That I think that's overall pretty good news for his fantasy value. I think he did get one target on like an attempted screen that ended up being a throwaway. But yeah, for the most part, like they did not use him in the passing game like they did last year. And it's just one game. But it was, I think the positive is that he got at least two goal line carries. That's the thing you were worried about with Eckler.
So I'm worried if this is like a structural change now that the quarterback is Justin Herbert and not Phillip Rivers. Like if think about it, everything they would have had dialed up for the offseason last year would have been dump offs because they thought their quarterback was going to be Tyrod Taylor. You know what I mean? So I wonder if it's like semi-structural, but that's probably good enough for tonight. That was
I have one other takeaway.
Okay, yeah.
Sammy, I was saying we got to get going because the Bears game.
Are the Steelers the best team in the NFL, you guys?
Oh my!
Maybe like the 18th best team in the NFL. It's possible they could.
Is Ben Roethlisberger going to finish the season as the Steelers' starting quarterback?
Not a chance. I was telling Sammy before we got on. He looks like a guy who's running with like a backpack on for like to improve his like strength. Like it's just like it's really
it's
bad.
So sad because those receivers are legit, and I'm not gonna use them at all this year. I can't.
Yeah. All right, guys, that is it for the week one Gilcast. Remember, download Underdog Fantasy, promo code GRID, and we'll be back next week.
Rack your look for spring at Nordstrom Rack and save up to 60% on brands you love. Rag & Bone, Vince, Marc Jacobs, Adidas, Joe's, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. Score new dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and sunglasses. Plus, updates for the family and home. Get your spring on for less, up to 60% less, today at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.